Today on Talk About That, John laments his December birthday and explores the history of his family name. Meanwhile, I ponder the art of interruption and whether people still use a Rolodex. Plus, a conversation about the pressure to identify ourselves by our job. Today's episode is not sponsored by fajitas. When you're hungry for food and attention, order fajitas. Let's do it.
Another Monday, another Talk About That. I'm John with Johnny.
Hey, guys.
Oh, you're going to talk now?
No.
We've been doing this a long time. I thought we had a cadence.
I like our flow. It's our chemistry.
What do you do when you watch basketball games and they step on, like, the commentators, and they apologize to each other?
Yeah.
I wonder if one of them, like, really gets mad.
I think it's weirder when they stop and then they apologize at the same time, then one of them pauses. Like, I think we're used to some overlap now in the way that we receive even entertainment.
Yeah.
I don't know when that started. I started seeing it in even the way they would do, like, cartoons, like The Simpsons. You would have people interrupt a line, whereas when you watch, like, old episodes on Nick at Night or something of I Love Lucy or Jack Benny or The Honeymooners, it's like, I say a line, you say a line, the crowd laughs. I say a line, you say, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it felt like there was a lack of authenticity there in a way.
Yeah.
So they kind of unlocked something when they started writing characters who would interrupt but there obviously is overkill, and there's, like, Pardon the Interruption is my favorite show.
Right.
And it's literally, that's the name of the show because they talk over each other. And they just live with it.
Well,
they're just like
example.
An old married couple.
Yeah, it's another example of a show that changed that dynamic. Because they're 20 years now, right?
Yeah, over 20, I think. Yeah.
And because I saw some big anniversary thing on the end of the day. But yeah, they literally created. Now, whether or not it's created a crowded.
Right. Who just do it worse than they do.
Right.
Like, it's a knockoff. Yeah. It's like Seinfeld broke the mold for comics. He was that guy that was like the old school in that he wore the suit. But he could just write you under a table, just like the scientist of jokes. And so in the 80s, you just had, like, Jerry, and then you had, like, 800 people who were doing their version of Jerry.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys don't do comedy anymore. They just faded away because it was the knockoff. So, yeah, you have that with PTI. You see news shows done that way where they have little segments. Even Good Morning America, you see it. It's just that's a really revolutionary idea because it tapped into our ADD mindset of, like, all right, I'll listen to them talk to the Lakers, but no more than 3 minutes. And you go, oh, well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to talk about the Lakers. You're like, okay. And then they're going to talk about the Dodgers. Yeah, then they're going to talk about the Dodgers. Okay, well, I like the Dodgers. I'll wait. But we didn't know that before. We were just like, are they ever going to talk about the Dodgers? Now we know. And so we expect it.
Yeah.
We expect that information from. But anyway, all that said, I feel like we have, we step on each other and we just let it be. It is what it is.
Hey, man, I mean, what, 24 years of friendship?
There's a rhythm to,
no,
I think
25,
you could tell.
25.
Like, I think if we had a third person and then they were interjecting and or a fourth person, because I see some of these shows like Dan Patrick's show where they all come in, or their Dan has to go, like, yeah, and he'll call on them.
Yeah.
Because it would just be chaos if they all were just to randomly start speaking all at once.
There's some other podcasts I like where there's three or four people talking, and it does get crowded. Usually they're laughing or it's funny, you know, interjecting. We did the one with Reggie, and I did the one with Dave Barnes and John McLaughlin on Dadville. And it got a few times,
Some of that's limitations of Skype, though, right? It's there's, like, delays and passive mics and things.
Yeah, and they did great, but I would have preferred in person for that reason. I could see
you're
taking a breath.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Whatever, yeah.
And then I can be like, my chance! And you just jump in.
He takes a drink. I'm like, I'm in! Yeah. I don't ever want to be the guy. I feel like I am, and I don't want to be this guy. I've tried to grow here that's only thinking about what I want to say next.
It's really hard.
It is, especially when you know, like, we're recording right now. Someone expects me to say something next. Like, I have to think about it.
Yeah, and you want to be, like, we're so pushed to be interesting as people. And especially if you're making content, you don't want to be like, I'll just lay back and let it come to me. Like, that's a great way to have no listeners.
Right.
It's that weird thing of there's a thing you say you want, and there's a thing you really want. I think we're seeing that, we're having a cultural moment with that, with, like, men. Like, what women want in men and what culture is telling them they want in men. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, we're like, I just want a man who will listen, and I want a man who's sensitive, and I want a man who blah, blah, blah. But when you meet that guy, you're like, that guy's weird.
Could he change a tire?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, you think you want that, and then you meet that guy, and you're like, nah, I'm not attracted to that guy.
You just described my entire high school experience. They met me. They were like, this is not what I thought
at all.
Yeah,
it's like this idealism. It's like,
actually, right now, I could change a tire really well. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. That's, I know I was going to ask you for help later.
Yeah.
We're having that moment in sports. Like, you're not a big NBA guy, but you've seen this happen over and again. And it's happening now where we get mad at players for leaving. Oh, he's not loyal, blah, blah, blah. And you look back at these guys like Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller stayed with the Pacers his whole career. That's a guy right there.
Yeah.
But then there's those same people will go, ah, he's not in the same category as those guys.
He
never won a championship.
Yeah.
So it's like we give and we take away with the same breath. It's so weird. So we have these expectations and then we just – but, yeah, I think it's important for what we do is like you have to be thinking, but not in the same – there's a difference of like – thinking of the next thing to say to keep a conversation moving versus like, I bet I can top that story. You know what I'm saying? Like you're in a bar, sports bar, and you're like, yeah, you met him. I met this guy. And like, you just feel like it's a competition.
It's got to be hard for you though, because you are a punchline and tag guy. That's your career.
Yeah.
So if I'm saying something stupid that is just mildly, oh, well, I thought that's interesting to think about. You're thinking of, I'm about to make this into a real joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do that all the time, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, guys, here is warm, 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 hotter, and then Johnny comes in, hot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so it makes me, what I'm saying is you don't listen to anything I say during that whole time.
But I am trying to be, like, I do think I'm trying to be, and I think I'm evolving into a better listener. But mainly it's because, like, I was thinking about that when we start having guests, because we're talking about having guests in the future shows. And I want to do and I actually think about launching a solo podcast that'll be completely interview based, because I travel so many, I meet so many comedians. I'm like, I need to be doing interviews with these guys.
Right.
But that'll be a different challenge because, I've listened to some of those podcasts like that where two comedians are interviewing each other, but it's one guy who's like the host.
Yeah.
And it's so hard not to be like, you have Jeff Foxworthy on and he starts talking about his starting comedy, to not jump in and go like, well, I started at the blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Because you want to share that thing. But then you realize like the people who are listening to this want to hear what Jeff Foxworthy has to say.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know that balance of like, I'm just now, because you want to have a conversation where you're shooting the breeze with two comics, because that's the point. I don't know.
It's hard
to know that balance.
It's very interesting to me, the way that whole conversation, Dane and I were talking this morning about what, when people ask us that we do, what's the first thing we respond with as creatives. And it's interesting. I don't respond, if you ask me, well, what do you do? If I meet a stranger, I don't say pastor as the first thing.
Yeah. Do you think you would? Is there a time you would have?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, obviously before you started writing books, but I'm saying like after you wrote the first book, did you go, I'm an author?
Well, and that's the crazy thing. I don't say author.
Okay.
I say writer. I say writer.
Okay, writer.
Writer's broader. And part of it, and Dane and I were going, it was a really fun conversation. We were really deep. But I was like, I think part of it is I'm confident to say I'm a writer.
Yeah.
Even though I am an author, and Laura will say it to me sometimes. She's like, hey, you know you're an author, right? But since I work predominantly as a collaborator, and I have authored a few things, but they're not wildly successful. So I have, as much as I harp on a non-quantification mindset, like instinctively I respond.
You're still quantifying in your own mind.
I respond with a thing that goes, yeah, well, I don't want to call myself an author. Calling yourself an author sounds pretentious to me, even if that's what you do. I don't know why it does. But I bet if I was a New York Times bestselling author, I'd probably say author.
Yeah,
because then the world would have validated that thing. So I say writer. I don't know, Johnny. I'm a mess. How much time you got? 45 minutes ish.
Yeah, I don't know. That is an interesting thing. Like what you say first is what you are. I mean, I guess it's easier for somebody that has like one job. But yeah, if you're creative, like what do you respond? How do you see yourself? That's a weird. And if you see somebody get really squirrely when that question is asked, well, I do a lot of things. Like you're like, oh boy.
Well, it's funny. I don't think he'll mind me saying this, but I'll ask him or I'll cut it out. But he said, I don't say I'm in a band.
Yeah.
Like that's not the first thing I respond with. For the very thing you just said, like, oh, here, great. Here we are. We're in Nashville. He's in a band, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has several things that he does. And so he's like, I also don't want to put all, well, I do this, 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 and this. Because, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard because. And I don't know if that's a I don't think that's a guy thing and a female thing. I really, really don't. I think it's a cultural – I think it does affect guys more historically in culture. But I think the cultural sort of pressure to define yourself by – or be able to articulate a definition of yourself by something significant or meaningful or even – lucrative that you do. By lucrative, I mean like just make a living. Like what do you do that causes, that allows you to eat? It's really the question we're asking. And is it interesting versus what some, we all do something. Is yours more interesting than someone else's?
Yeah.
And there's creative categories where you're like, if I say that, you know, then I'm, and I don't say pastor. I told him, and the only reason I don't say pastor is because they treat me differently.
Yeah.
It's going to be a different kind of conversation if I say pastor first. So if we talk for a while, we've kind of really connected and we're, you know.
Especially they let a few expletives fly in the first part of the conversation. Like,
And they go back and,
yeah.
So what I do
immediately
is
start changing.
I found the way to help that is I just let expletives fly.
Right.
Like, and then they're
set
not.
Set them at ease.
Completely. That, and then I tell them I'm a pastor. Like, what?
What?
What sort of filthy, you know. So anyway. Oh, Johnny.
It is interesting, though, like that thing of we. Guys take on, and I don't know if women have this same thing. Maybe culturally we're getting there where women feel that same pressure. But like, yeah, it's immediate. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
What value are you adding to the universe? Or what have you made? Like, if you're creative, what have you made? If you, cause you say I'm a comedian,
right?
Have I seen you anywhere? Where would I know you from?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I'm a working comic, but I mean, I've done a few things. You've been on, you know,
Fallon,
whatever TV
right.
show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, no. And they're like, okay. And then there's like a little check mark in their head. I'm like, all right, this guy's probably lying.
it's like there's a hole in the bucket.
And
the moment you can patch it with a great project or experience, then they'll put their finger in the hole and allow, this is how much you have left. But yeah, from the time you tell them, it's draining until you stop the drain with, oh, yeah, I've been on. Oh, okay, cool. Then you have this much. You
right.
know? Yeah, that's the same thing with, what have you written that I would have read? I'm like, nothing, I'm sure.
Ever hear of the Bible?
Yeah. Heresy becomes me. It really is hard because then all of us, we do go seek those things. Like,
I think it's okay to seek, that's a weird thing. It's like, that's the hard part is like letting yourself off the hook for wanting to have things and build things and make things and seek things. I think it's like that's the difference between like we talk about, you know, consumerism. Like it's okay to own things as long as they don't own you.
Boy, come
on,
guys.
I think that's the same thing with your job. Like you can have a job, but like this idea of like, just don't let it become your identity. It's like that is so much easier said than done.
Yeah.
When the whole world makes it your identity.
Right.
The minute they find out what you are, they have made. You do it to yourself and we do it to other people. So it's like, but don't, whatever you do, don't let your job become your identity. It's like, okay, that's an easy one.
Right. And like literally in many cases, your last name historically
was your job.
I
wonder what a Wethington was.
Oh my goodness. It's like have you not done your historical?
It's like it's some kind of farm equipment. Fetch the Wethington. They milk goats with it or something.
It certainly sounds like English to me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Anglo in origin.
It's very white.
Yeah.
It's ultra white.
Yeah,
whatever they did, it was a job with a lot of white people around.
Well, you know, it's either what you did or where you're from.
Yeah,
usually.
That's true.
So
I'm the Earl of Wethington.
I remember growing up, I wonder if we, you know, drove carriages, you know, driver. I wonder if we, you know, were the leader of a workforce, so we were the heavy driver, you know, like, and what it really means when I researched it is it actually is Norman. Well, everything comes back to Norman here. By the way, I listened last week to Norman Conquistador.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud and I was there for the first time you said it. That's funny, Johnny. We need a listener right now.
An action figure.
Yeah. So a listener needs to give us a graphic of what you think.
We've got several artists that follow us.
You guys, we will post if someone sends us.
Maybe we'll make a T-shirt. Who knows?
Norman Conquistador.
Yeah.
Your WWE. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, WWF, you know, because they got sued by the World Wildlife Foundation in the 90s.
Did you say World Wildlife Foundation?
Yeah, the panda logo.
I didn't know that.
That's why they're not WWF anymore. They had to become World Wrestling Entertainment. The other thing was the steroid trial where Vince McMahon basically said, well, we're just entertainment. So they kind of skirted the...
Yeah.
Basically, he exposed the whole business, though, because there were still people out there that thought wrestling was real. So he came out and was like, no, 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 it's not real. And it's okay if we blow ourselves up like balloons. And they were like, okay, I'll allow it. It's like one of those judges on Law and Order. I'll allow it, but watch yourself, McCoy.
So Driver comes from, it's, you know, French region is ancient Norman.
Ancient Norman.
Normandy, yeah. And it was of the river, De River. So it's an area there, a town.
Like going on down to De River.
Yeah, no river. So then over time, and actually, if you look at the old, if you look at old, like there was a driver that came over with William the Conqueror.
Okay.
1066. So he was a part of the
This
Norman.
Feels like you're making yourself bigger than
guys, I'm kind of a, I'm like Ron Burgundy. I'm kind of a big deal.
You're like, yeah, my family were conquerors. I mean, it's
you know,
whatever.
It's whatever, man.
What do you do? I do a podcast. It's whatever.
I mean, you know, I'm descended from Norman.
I'm less about conquering. It's like things have been conquered. I'm like, I'm moving on.
Yeah, like we already
what's
did that.
Left?
I did that.
I could go conquer. It's in my blood, but it's like what's the point?
And it had all these variations and derivations over time, like
yeah.
Drive or dive. So D-Y-V-E.
Would there be a Y in it? Okay, yeah.
And then D-I-V-E and D-Y-V-E-R. So all they, it's interesting to watch it from 1066 on.
Are these just people making typos?
I don't think so. I think it's the records, man. Okay. Listen, historical research, bro. It'll it's a nerdy thing to do. But you need to go look up Wethington.
I'm afraid to know who I'm descended from. I just think it's going to be thieves and prostitutes.
What if you found out that your family and my family both came over with the Norman conquest? What if, like, we were conquering back then just like we are now?
What?
Huh?
Tag team. And then we high five.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I don't think there's any chance of that.
It'd be
that.
Like, my family worked for your family. It'd be something like that.
Oh,
you could hold
great.
On my head. You
yeah.
know?
Your family was my family's butlers.
I mean, I am working for you now. I do all the production.
You
just
do.
Walk in.
I said that to somebody the other day because they were saying, oh, it was my niece. She goes, I think I want to have a podcast. And I was like, okay.
You need to call John. He does everything.
Yeah. So she's 14. And I was just like, all right, well, she goes, what do I need to do? And I was like, I think she's just thinking technically, like, what is there to do? And I was like, well, the thing you need to do first is like have an idea. You want to know exactly what you want to talk about. And then she goes,
crickets.
Well, yeah, but then I felt immediately like stupid because we don't have an agenda for what we talk about.
Hey, don't tell them that. That is not true, listener.
So it's just like saying, like, you want you, whatever you do, you don't want to just get on and start rambling like a weirdo. And she was like, oh, and I was like, clearly she's never heard our show.
That is the funniest thing I've heard.
So now I have to, I'm probably going to try to get her some gear or whatever and see if I can help. But what I had to tell her was, I don't know anything about how to get a podcast on the air. I just know how to like record it.
What you mean? You don't even know how to record it. You know,
I record the intro, so I know how to like hit record.
True. That's true. You know how to record it.
But I don't know what to do with it once it's like how to get it into space.
Listen, guys, I don't.
I know internet's a series of tubes.
I think it is. Yeah. If one That's gets clogged, all. Buddy,
yeah.
It's a bad day. On the
Every end. Now and again, they have to take a day and close the internet to clear it of all the like digital flotsam and jetsam.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's...
Because there's all kinds of particles out there that get... It's just a lot in there.
Every time that Sadie uses Epsom salts, I always have this stupid idea in my head. You know, there's that random font that's not real words, lorem ipsum.
Oh no. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I always want to like make this.
I thought you meant not real letters. That's a wingdings, right?
Oh, well,
that's
they're the real letters, but they're just.
Yeah, yeah, lorem ipsum, and yeah. Yeah, when you get a blog and they.
I'm assuming that's Latin of some sort.
Any template has lorem ipsum.
Right.
It's always funny when you see somebody's webpage and they forgot to delete that.
Yeah.
It's just like, it'll say like, this week, you know, fundraising gala, lorem ipsum, omnibus. You just imagine like a monk like hitting himself with a board on a Monty Python sketch.
Well, as always, I want to make lorem ipsum salts.
Lorem ipsum salts.
And like, you yeah. don't know what, you know, fragrance they are. It's just a bunch of random letters on the back.
Yeah, it's
know?
Just whatever they could find and throw into a box. Right. And then you put it in hot water.
But I think that's such a weird, deep, nerdy.
That's a dumb.
Dumb thing. Like, right. I won't even say it to my daughter or wife. Like, yeah. Number one, Sadie would have no idea. She'd look at me like I had three heads instead of the two heads. She looks at me like
That'd
I
have
now.
That'd be a funny fake name. Ipsum, lorem ipsum, you know. Like, just if you're like a celebrity putting a fake hotel name or whatever, like,
that's
they did.
Great. Yeah.
Somebody asked me that one day. It's so funny when somebody, like, you talk about not being famous and having like success, but it's like you're still under the radar enough to where it's like whatever, and you still have to like tell people, oh, I've done things. Well, that's been my whole life, and so even when I started doing comedy, like, I've made a living from comedy for 12 years now. But it's like, you know, people ask me things like at the show, they'll be like, now, I'll tag you in these photos if that's okay. Like, I don't know who manages your social media. And I'm like, I manage. And they go, what? Like, they're so floored that I manage. If they don't ask that if I've had a bad show. They're not like, oh, cool. I manage social media.
Hey, listen, pay me $5. I'll tag you.
Exactly. But it's funny. And it's once somebody asked me if I check into the hotel under my own name. Like, they thought that that would be like a...
I hope you came up with something witty.
No.
Retort.
No. I just was like floored that they would ask it. I was just like, yeah, like it's Beatlemania or something. Oh, I have to just use an assumed name.
It's Beatlemania.
Or people come find my room number because I told a joke.
No, that's great.
We're not there yet. I hope we never get there, actually. That'd be too weird.
Yeah.
Like, when I was out with Hawkins, like, I know I mentioned Tim sometimes on the show and people may be weird about it, but this is like, that's my reference for like... a successful comic that I worked with for like 7 years. So it really is that's my reference point.
Right.
But he would have, you know, 2,500 people come to see him in this town. And then we'd get on a bus and we would usually go to the next town. But every now and again, he would want to go get a burger or something.
Yeah.
So we'd go and then there'd be like a handful of people at that Whataburger who were at the show. Mm-hmm. And they're like rubbernecking and I think Tim Hawkins. And they're freaked out that he like eats burgers. Like they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But that happened, like, I said, does this ever, like, freak you out? And he's like, no, it happens, like, just enough times that it's still really cool to me.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it
great.
Never, you know, so it's like, that's the level you want.
Yeah.
Where you can get 2,000 people to come see you in a city, and then if you wind up at the same restaurant, a few people come over to you and say hello and that they loved the show, but that's the extent of it.
See,
they're not like, we worship you! It's not like a girl screaming and tearing their like, that's too much. John,
right.
You don't
well,
want
we've,
that.
I've had it, you know.
Right.
It's when not
you,
a big,
we, I remember the whole conquering thing.
The conquering thing, yeah. It was, the equivalent of that as a pastor of a small church in a town is I don't go to any restaurant where I don't just see someone who's left my church.
Oh, that's true. That's another thing. That's
not
a different,
see someone
that's
who,
a different Whataburger
it is
experience.
A very different one. Like, a lot of pastors of a big church go and don't see someone. They don't go to a restaurant without seeing someone who goes to their church.
Yeah.
I don't go to a restaurant without seeing someone who's left.
Well, they
church.
See the people who've left too. They just, you're just, you're being negative.
And I'm just like, no, I'm not being negative. I'm telling like.
No, what I'm saying, like, they see it too. Maybe that's just like when you have so many people,
you
they're
don't
just
know
like.
Know what they see.
You're just imagining them. You're like building them up to be like, they have so many people. They don't even know. No one ever leaves a good church. People don't leave churches. Only mine.
The greatest story, I told someone this story this week. The greatest story of someone leaving a church that ever happened to us, and we have some doozies, is a guy walked into Andrew's office and said, basically, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Here's a book. You should read this book. This is how you should do church.
Okay.
And now the book, oddly enough, is by a guy who has been featured and mentioned on The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill.
Okay.
James McDonald.
Yeah.
It was called Vertical Church, and he had a major scandal.
Major.
And so it was Vertical Church. And so, you know, Andrew's such a humble, he really is. Andrew has patience to respond in moments like that beyond what I have. Like, he's very non-reactive.
Yeah.
You know, very non-reactive. He will, he just won't. I've been in meetings where, like, how is he not, you know, reaching for a weapon right now kind of thing? But he just can hold together because he's a better person than I am. And he said, well, okay, well, I mean, I'm really sorry to hear that. I'm just curious, you know, what did you take away from the book, you know, that I need to look into? And the guy goes, I haven't read it.
He hadn't even read the book. He just knew the cliff notes.
Yeah, he didn't even know the cliff notes. He was just like, I guess someone just told him this is what good church is or whatever. Yeah. And he came in and there was no tension.
Yeah.
That, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said.
Right.
That having not read it myself, you know, and it was just like, well, okay, man.
Well, that's the fame. There's a famous old joke that probably maybe our listeners haven't heard, because I always assume people have heard the old church street jokes. But like the most famous one that I know that's still so funny to me is the guy stranded on a desert island. 10 years later, somebody finally finds him, and he's built these three thatch huts in a row.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we're here to rescue you. Let's get your stuff together. And he's like, okay. And they go, if you don't ask him, what are these three buildings? He goes, well, the first one is my house. And then that second one is my church. And the third one is where I used to go to church. That's just the best.
Yeah, I had a
that
weird...
like sums all of church. If you're a pastor, that sums up your entire angst in one joke.
Oh my gosh!
Because like you just imagine a person, even on a desert island, he found a way to leave a church.
He split with himself. Yeah, I had another weird thought this morning in car line. I was like, what is the second Noel? Like, why do we need to delineate? It's the first,
huh?
And like, like if you go to the second Noel, did the first split? You know what
I'm
saying?
Is it like your first rodeo?
Right. Yeah. What is the first Noel? Why is it not? Has there been more than one?
Did one of the shepherds say, this ain't my first Noel? And you're like, no, it actually is.
See, this is warm, 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 and hot. You just made it to the joke I needed. And see, now, can we now say that that joke is by Johnny W. with John Driver?
You're collaborating.
Yes. Yeah, so I collaborated with you.
I've got a Christmas event tomorrow in Toledo.
Can you use it?
At a church. And it's not, the church is not called Holy Toledo, which I think they're missing a real opportunity there. And I'm going to let them know. But I'll tell it tomorrow. I'll punch it up. I'll make it better.
So you tell me it had, what did Seth used to say? It had...
it's got legs.
It's got legs.
Yeah.
You think it had
That's
legs?
That's not a Seth thing. Seth got that from me. That's a comedy thing.
Sorry. No, I just meant, but he would say it
all.
You
know, like that famous comedian Seth used to say. I think he used to say it's got legs.
I didn't mean it came from him. He said it so often. Every time he'd walk up and say, he'd go, hey, Johnny, they just got legs. He would say something. So, all right, you take it.
Yeah.
And whatever residuals are coming my way, we'll set up a little account. I'll have my social media manager call you.
Okay.
You're a social media manager.
Yeah.
And which means I'll call you.
We'll get together on it.
The second Noel, Johnny. That's so
the funny. Second Noel.
This ain't my first Noel. Man, you always get there, don't you? It's just natural. It's like a muscle.
Mm. You've got to keep working it, John. It'll atrophy.
Hey, Johnny, it has atrophied. It's too late. Do they have a TIMS unit for...
A TIMS unit for
comedy
humor.
Muscle? Hey, speaking of what you call yourself, what's the difference between calling yourself a comedian and a comic? Is there a difference?
I don't know. I've had people tell me that there was, that were... I've read articles from people who are like trying to like... I think they're interchangeable. I think comics are more likely to say comic because outside people, when you say comic, they think of a comic book.
Yeah.
So like if I'm talking to another comedian, I would say, oh, this guy's another comic. But if I'm talking to you, I would say it to you because you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But if I'm talking to like a random person, I would say comedian.
Interesting.
And then they used to, with female comics used to be pressured to use the term comedian, which I hate. And I know female comics must have hated it too. I'm a comedian with like an E-N-N-E. And you're like, ugh, stop it. Just stop it. If they're funny and they belong on stage, get on stage.
Yeah.
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 It's dumb. I hate that whole like, I hate that thing.
So you're not in favor of the Lady Vols then?
I am. I don't know. Well, I mean, I think that distinction provides like clarity to what you're watching.
So you guys know the Tennessee Volunteers, you know, Pat Summitt, the 7-time national championship winning coach at Tennessee, who tragically died Alzheimer's. And so there was a whole thing, a new AD came in, new athletic director.
Yeah.
And trying to be sort of, I guess, woke, decided to make everybody just the Volunteers and not have the Lady Volunteers.
I forgot
anymore.
About this. Name the court the Summitt.
Yeah. And there was an absolute outrage among the Lady Vols. Like it was the Lady Vols who said, no, this is the identity we like. We built a whole thing around it. And they, when Philip Fulmer became AD, he switched it back.
Right.
But it was like trying to equalize actually took away something from them that they liked.
And I think it's just, they're two different, really it's two different products, honestly. Whereas I think with female comedians, it's not two different products. Like, I mean, I've seen some female comics that just smoke, like it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I've seen some guy comes on like, well, so if you want to divide those two things up and be like, well, what is this? Am I seeing a, and I don't even like it in shows when guys introduce, we got a lady comic coming up next. It's like, stop doing
that. What does it matter? Yeah.
Just stop it.
Yeah.
But, that's the real difference is that like there's equity of, there's like if you put a male tennis player versus a female tennis player, the male can usually serve it like 50 miles an hour faster.
Yeah.
That's not true with jokes. Like women can write jokes.
Right. So, just as fast as
men. As fast.
Guys, we're in an egalitarian podcast.
I like to think of myself as the Venus Williams of male comics, which is weird.
If them introducing the women comics that way is the equivalent, and I just remember this when you first started, it happened all the time.
Yeah.
That some pastor introducing you is trying to get some sort of laugh for themselves.
Yeah.
And they will say, now we got Johnny coming. He's going to tell you some jokes. Now look, I want y'all to laugh even if they're not funny.
Yeah.
And I could just, I would look over, I would hurt so bad. Like, oh man, why don't you just go ahead and tell all the people he's not going to be funny?
I did a show last night and the guy, it went well. And the guy was so over the moon. The pastor was sitting in like table two, right in front. He gets up to like, yeah, thanks for coming. And he was still laughing. And he said, I'll just tell you guys, if you didn't like what that was, you're at the wrong church. And I was like, man, now that's an endorsement.
It's a bold move.
It's
yeah.
one thing to say, like, let's give Johnny another hand. It's another thing to say, like, if you didn't laugh, get out.
His sister Ethel gets
and
up
never
in the back
come
and
back.
Stomps out with her purse.
You
her
take
hand.
Your tithe money and you get. I was like, man, that's a lot of pressure.
We don't care if you support missionaries.
That's right.
Drop him. We want
yeah,
this.
Man.
Yeah,
that
well, brutal. That's good,
but,
man.
Yeah, so that's gone the other way.
Yeah.
I'm moving the needle, John.
Wow, you really have. You're changing culture.
No, but yeah, there is that thing of a pastor trying to get a laugh for himself, and it never really bothers me. Sometimes it works in your favor because they'll
just...
Because
you make fun of him, then.
Well, no, it's just that... It's not even if I would roast him. Sometimes I would, but... You don't even need it. Like, if somebody gets up and they're an amateur and then you get up and you're a pro,
yeah.
it's going to just look...
A juxtaposition.
They only can
evident.
Only help you.
Yeah.
Unless they said something offensive, then
right.
you have to, like, fix it, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But usually it's just they make a corny joke and then you get up and make a polished joke and they go, oh, okay, and the show has started.
Yeah.
It just feels like the show... So I never get mad if a pastor's like, hey, I got a guy in the youth group that wants to do 10 minutes. I'm like, cool. I used to fight it. Now I'm just like, no, this is fine. It's just gone well so many times that I just don't fight it anymore.
So if you were to back out of that scenario, this is now where the Enneagram 6 goes way deep and dark. How many times have you been brought on tour to be that guy?
Oh, wow. That's
you know what I'm saying? I think you're more funny than all the people.
I'm the guy that made the other guy look good.
I wonder if that...
Could be. Yeah, that's the thing that you don't want to believe about yourself, but who knows?
I don't think that's true, Johnny. Listen, I think...
I will say that there's way more to comedy, because there was a guy asking a couple of questions on my Insta about, like, some things we said about comedy career and hustle in general, and I didn't want to answer it on the air, because I felt like I owed him an answer, and so I want to answer that, but I will say that, like... In my career, I think there's a thing of like what I tell young comics and what I had to learn for myself and was taught was like comedy, like being funny when you start, you think it's like 80% and you just imagine like, oh, I'm funnier than that guy.
Yeah.
Then why is he getting that opportunity? Or why is his calendar full and my calendar's not? And like there's so many, or you see a guy that's really funny and he's like begging for work and you're like, oh no. And it really is depressing.
Yeah.
And then when you get to know those guys, you're like, you see their people skills or you see some like bad business decisions or you see them like turn down something they think they were too good for.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he's really awkward around everybody who could help him.
Yeah.
And he flirts with girls in the green room and makes them uncomfortable. Or he, you know,
yeah.
you start seeing like, oh, everybody gets a chance at a break. If you do it long enough and you write jokes at all, you get a chance to like sink or swim. And it's what happens in those moments. But I really thought it was like 80% jokes. And now I realize it's like, that's like 30% maybe. And that's like a really high estimate probably.
Wow.
And so that's kind of depressing. And it's kind of like, well, now at least I know the rules.
I think you just told me I could get into comedy because
you're about 30%.
The jokes
funny.
Are the yeah. I was gonna say the jokes are the least part, but I have great people skills.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Believe me, I've seen it.
Do you have a Rolodex I could borrow?
I don't. Or, what is a Rolodex? No. It's so funny. Like that's a thing still in our culture, but like what? Like saying Rolodex to somebody. I wonder what people think it is.
Yeah.
Like if you were to ask Dane what a Rolodex is, do you think he would know?
Mm.
What is he? 27.
He may be pushing
three decades. I wonder when Rolodex, like I remember my mom had a Rolodex.
Yeah.
And then she would add, you know, you could buy those kits where you could add pages.
Yeah.
So there'd be like these old parchmented pages on it, and then like, oh, these are the new ones. I'm crisp.
Yeah.
And then you could pull it out. You could be like, here's my card, and you'd pull it. It could pull a number out of the Rolodex and take it with you.
Yeah. Well, I was watching an episode of Michael Scott Paper Company.
Yeah.
And where Dwight steals his Rolodex, and he's trying to take his, you know, clients, and Mike's had all these notes written to himself. Do you remember this episode?
Yeah.
I hadn't watched these episodes in a while, and I was dying. Like, they were so funny. And Michael has all these color-coded things on the card, and so Dwight's like, hey, you know, Mike, and he's just reading it to the guy's face. Like, he's standing in front of him. He's like, how is your black wife? And the guy's like, eyes are real big. Like, he kept saying all these, how is your, you know, drug addict son? You know, like, it was, my, you know, Michael was really connected with the family and made notes to remember them. And Dwight's reading it all. And so he loses all of them. And Michael at the end goes, I've color-coded all of those. So orange means, aren't you glad you'd never say that? And green means, go ahead and not say that. He goes, pretty much every one of them means don't say it. It's like his color code was so, like, red, green, and orange all meant the same thing. Don't say any of this. And Dwight all of it. So it's just
So if they had Rolodex on the office, that means it's a pretty, like, recent death of the, or maybe they were pointing that out to show, like, that Michael's still stuck in the 80s or whatever.
Well, I mean, when he was getting the clients for that, you know, he actually got some clients during that time. Yeah. And there was, like, I think Ryan made this statement, like, look at the old guy go with his Rolodex. So it was somewhat a callback to a simpler time.
But I just wonder if, like, you had to paint a picture in your mind if you're, you know, a young, you know, a Xennial, and you just said Rolodex. I wonder what they would imagine. They imagine, like, a digital thing, or would they imagine, like, what it is, which is just a bunch of cards with people's numbers written on them that spin around on a wheel.
I don't know. Is there a Rolodex app, I wonder now? There has to be.
Where you just flip through, and it flips through, and it makes a cool, like, whooshing sound, maybe?
I bet you there is.
I don't know.
But there's no way to know.
Rolodex, not a sponsor. Wouldn't it be great to have a sponsor that's like a product that's a defunct product?
This is sponsored by AMC Auto.
Yeah, I don't even make them anymore. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. United Artists. Like, what? Are they gone?
Gone. That's great. So what's your next show, Johnny?
I'm in Toledo tomorrow, and then I have one last show for the year, and that is in East Peoria, Illinois.
Wow.
Scenic and exotic Peoria.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it for the year. And then I'm gonna go home, hopefully, and be with family on a couple days of before Christmas and stay in
Knox Vegas.
Hang out with my brother and the nieces and see some family and see Curry's family.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're staying here. You go to Arkansas anymore?
No, not at Christmas. Usually, we used to do a family reunion that's in Paris, Tennessee. They come from there.
I don't even know where that is.
You don't know where Paris is?
No,
it's Paris Landing. We're at the state park there. We usually do every year, but the last 2 years, the COVID has.
At the state park?
Yeah, there's cabins.
It's a rest stop.
So my wife's.
It's catered by Lance. You're gonna love it. Tom's Chips.
It's there's like three cabins, and so my father-in-law has two brothers, and so all the families stay.
You just choose
with each
up like
one.
A kickball game.
Oh, and we
that's
play,
who stays in the cabins.
We play. We stay. Yeah, you stay with your
it's
family,
a draft.
You know, and then the kids run around in the woods. It's a lot of fun. We go play. Usually, you know, we play. I don't know, wiffle ball, or we play. There's a swimming pool there. They had so anyway. That's the answer to your question. We don't go to Arkansas. Usually, we go meet up in the summer. But so we'll host Christmas at my house for my family, and then we'll head to Crossville day after Christmas. So.
Well, and then your birthday is the 28th.
Yeah.
Christmas birthday.
It's coming up. That's an interesting week because it is the forgotten week of the year. And I like it. Like, this is an introvert. It's an introvert's dream to have a birthday on the 28th because I don't really care. I'd just rather not be. I don't want to stand out for the wrong reasons. And most of the time, I'm happy not to stand out at all, which is interesting because I'm a guy who has to build platform a little bit and stuff. So this is therapy.
That's good. I'm glad I could help.
It's complex. But most people, without Facebook, nobody would know that I had a birthday on December 28th.
Well, now everybody's going to know and everybody's going to send gifts.
Oh, my goodness.
We need a P.O. box.
You mean like gifts, GIFs? Like they're going to send me a bunch of...
We need a P.O. box for the podcast so people could send gifts to the show.
That'd be great.
You know, people want to send you things.
Well, we just give them the church
Poor
address.
John, he's got this birthday where they're always like, it's for your birthday and Christmas. His whole life, Even though I think you deserve it because you are a distraction from our Lord at this time of year.
I mean, all year, but
people
especially.
People trying to focus on the Christ child, and you're like, I'm 32. Why would you say that?
That's weird. And you're not even close to 32.
You're not even close to 32.
Yeah. It's 34 is closer. Wait. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a comedian the day, and he had a line that I was like, I wish I'd written that line. It's like so easy. It's so easy. And they may have been that somebody else came up with it, and it's just a hack line. But he said, I recently turned 40, and everybody clapped. And he goes, even more recently, I turned 48. That's so funny. It's like, man, why didn't I think of that? What a great joke.
Yeah, that's kind of like the, hey, this is Laura. She's my first wife. Yeah. You know, it's a big preacher joke, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, she's my only wife. But, you know, it's like, yeah, yeah. I always get uncomfortable when preachers tell that joke.
Who was
actually.
It that was talking about, like, their wife at a thing, pastor, and said that they can't be bought, but she can be rented. What was that? I can't remember what it was. It was like so
We're
awkward.
Not going to say who it is, but it was at a youth convention.
I can't remember the context because, like, it sounds like there couldn't be any good context
no,
for that.
He was... So there's a joke
there's about like currying favor with her, though. It was
right.
Like, she can't be bought.
Well, that's a leadership thing to say, like, you know, hey, guys, I can't be bought, but I can be rented, meaning like, hey, I'm just a little corrupt. You know what I'm saying?
You know, like Jesus.
So he was trying to make the same joke.
Yeah, it's
but
bad.
It did not go over well when he told it to 2,000 teenagers about his wife.
Yeah.
So it was it's one of those. It was one of those, like, the second he said it, her eyes, and he and looks over, and his face, it was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've been there. I'm trying to think of, it can happen to any of us, but
yeah,
I just try not to be too cutesy.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. During a wedding or a funeral, like, scripted. It's the only time in life that I script every.
Oh, morning. Right.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid of just, yeah, because people lock in on.
Right.
That'll be like somebody's tainted memory forever.
Do you, Dave, take Jen? It's Rachel. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Because the last wedding could have been that. So, like, I practice.
Their last wedding could have been that. That's no good.
It's his first wife. Every single time. So I script. I don't give any chance. Now, Sundays I don't script. You know, I have a. But man, gotta script.
Maybe you
things.
Should script Sundays.
What are you saying? It would go a little better. Can't go worse.
Go a little shorter.
Hey man, I was 40 minutes last week.
You was preached last week.
Yeah.
So you're not preaching this week.
Sorry, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So you're preaching this week.
I am preaching this week.
Okay.
I'm preaching on. This is interesting. The Advent calendar. There's many varied versions of it.
Yeah.
So I had a little freak out moment. I'd spent.
There's cheese. There's chocolate. Wait, is that what you're talking
there's
about?
There's wine.
Yeah.
I had spent most of my day yesterday prepping for love, and not on the Sermon in John, just in life.
Just prepping for
just
love.
Prepping for love. And
I think it's a Barry White song.
Show you right. And so he didn't say show you right.
He did not. No, I think he did.
Was it him?
I think he was show, I think you're right.
Show you right.
Can't get enough of your love, baby. Barry White said he lost, before he died, he said he lost like a bunch of weight because he famously lost a ton of weight. And he said that how he lost the weight was he saw himself naked in the mirror one day. And that was like this jarring thing to him. That was like a famous article.
Wow.
And then I remember thinking like, if I saw Barry White naked in the mirror, I would lose weight.
But anywho, I realized like that I wonder if I just prepped the wrong topic.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of Advent traditions, love is the fourth week of Advent. And I was like, I know I...
Somebody's going to like nerdy... Excuse me!
I think that we're supposed to be on peace today.
Actually.
It was joy. So anyway...
That'd be a great thing to be like, this isn't right! And they're like, we're supposed to be joyful this week.
But I am going to stand up then, because this is who I am.
Yeah.
And I will make probably a disclaimer like, hey, a lot of traditions do different things.
Oh boy,
and
I'm already...
This week we're doing love. And if you don't like it, you know where the door is. If you don't hear about love, shut up and get out. Yeah, so, yeah, love. Are you going to be here?
I'll be here, I think.
Johnny, yeah. I won't believe it until I see it.
I get back Saturday night from Holy Toledo.
Dude, you in the audience, bro. It might make me go longer, though, because I feel so comfortable then.
Right. You just be like, you explore. You're like, all right, Johnny's here. He's got my back.
Yeah. I really do. I feel
it's
more
like
comfortable.
It's like a safety net.
It's an introvert thing. And also an Enneagram 6 thing, a loyalist. Like, when the people of my inner circle are in the room, I'm more comfortable. It's crazy.
Well, and we've had a lot of conversations together, especially since the podcast started. So I think what needs to happen is I need to have a live mic at my seat.
That's a great idea.
Then I can just interject and be like, John, I think what you meant was.
I think what John's trying to say, unsuccessfully.
Yeah. And then like a single spotlight comes down on me.
Listen, you need to speak one Sunday morning. I've tried to give you a Sunday morning and you wouldn't take it.
No.
You go do it to other churches. Why would you not do it here?
It's weird. I don't know. It's always weird with your home church.
But I'm your inner circle and I'll be there. See, you don't feel the same way.
I only want to do it if you're not there.
Could you promise
me? Could you be gone?
That you won't.
One of these days.
Well, you need to, man. I mean,
I don't know, man.
Just pull one of your recycled garbage sermons you go do for everyone else and just bring it
in.
It is, Advent is one of those times you're like, man, if I really wanted to.
Well, they've all, you know, so many Advent, I mean, so it's been preached.
I could just pull my sermon from 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's all been done.
I had to not do that, but I could have. Wouldn't have anything wrong with it. Maybe it was great.
You better bring the fresh word, John.
Just once, I want someone to walk up and go, wait a second, I think you recycled that. Because you know what it mean? They actually listened.
Yeah, to that's both, a good point.
But no one ever does that. No. I could recycle the sermon I did, I'm telling you, 4 weeks ago, and they wouldn't know.
You could recycle another pastor's sermon, they probably wouldn't know. Because, you know, no. I mean, they're, you don't think so?
No, but I think maybe it wouldn't be 4 weeks.
It feels like Osteen.
Give me 4 months, I could redo a sermon, they wouldn't know the difference. Oh, my goodness, that could be Osteen. That's funny.
He took that jars of clay thing for real, dude. He's got he holds those treasures in his walls like jars of clay.
Did you see that he is one of the voices on the movie The Star?
No.
Have you seen The Star?
No. But I knew it came out a couple Christmases ago.
I think Mariah Carey executive produced that.
What?
Sadie said that. So I'll have to verify with her. There's no other way to know. But
citation needed.
It is, dude, the cast, the voiceover cast, and it's a really, really well done movie.
How did Osteen get in there?
I forget which one he is. He's one of the animals in the stable, I think, maybe. But it's got Zachary Levi is the donkey. It's got, I'm not going to remember all these people now. It's a bunch, Johnny.
Sherman Helmsley.
Chris Christopherson is in the movie.
Okay.
We're going to have to look that up.
Sam Elliott.
Did you know Sam Elliott's going to be in the new spinoff of Yellowstone, the 1883?
You said Yellowstone. Like
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Ram.
He does. He seems like he could not be in anything that wasn't.
Oh. He seems like his mustache is bulletproof.
Yeah.
He's ching ching would just bounce off like Wonder Woman's bracelets.
Keegan Key is a voice. Let's see. Zachary Levi, Christopher Plummer, Ving Rhames, Gabriel Iglesias, Kelly Clarkson, Chris Christopherson, Kristen Chenoweth.
And what the heck, Joel Osteen.
Mariah Carey, Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, Tracy Morgan, Joel Osteen. Like, it's right there because I looked up. Yeah. Delilah from the radio.
What?
Yep.
What's in your heart?
I mean, it was quite the cast list there.
Man.
So yeah, I actually really like that movie. It's a good movie. So I don't think it's true to the biblical narrative per se.
You mean with
the animals saving Mary from
they saved her.
I hate to give it away.
It's a little extra biblical, as we would say.
I hate to give it away, but yes, it's Mary survived.
Apocryphal.
Extra biblical. And you know what, listener, we hope you've not found our podcast to be too extra biblical, that you have found that it was just biblical enough, you know,
just the right amount,
just the right amount of biblical. Man, you should go check out our website though. Lots of cool things happening there.
talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Yep. And there you can find old episodes. You can find
archived
new episodes.
Yeah.
You could find
ones we haven't even recorded yet. Maybe push the buttons until you figure it out.
We are about to add some elements. This is true. Now I said I didn't want to tease it but I'm going to tease it a little bit. We are about to add some really cool elements to the podcast that expands it. So we're actually in talks with other people helping us do that. So stay tuned and be intrigued.
Yeah,
for that.
That's all you're going to give them.
You want to give them more?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about.
You're
it
afraid to overpromise and underdeliver.
Absolutely.
That is so six of you, John.
I appreciate that. So. I think what we need for Johnny, I need to buy you an Enneagram book for Christmas.
Yeah.
Enneagram, maybe an audio book. I'm not sure I'll get you to read one.
Yeah, audio would be. But, yeah, because yeah, I could listen on the plane or something.
Yeah. You'd like it. Yeah, I got a couple ideas. So, but maybe you guys would also like to follow Johnny and his Instagram.
Social media.
JONNIEW. Yeah. We know it's spelled weird, but it anyway.
I'm out there.
You are.
It's a growing platform, y'all.
Listen, Johnny is conquering the worldwide
internet. I stand completely still on stage, and I think it's because I imagine my platform to be that small that I don't want to step off of it, John. And that won't that preach?
Boy, come
on, guys. Don't make a lot of sudden movements on your platform. Okay? You start wandering around, all of a sudden, you're on shaky ground.
Oh, my goodness.
Your platform's on thin ice.
Oh, wait.
That metaphor has reached
its... Yeah, you went too far. Yeah.
Yeah. The limits of that metaphor. Yeah.
Well, and you guys can follow me as well. You can also check out my latest book, Not So Black and White. And you can go to notsoblackandwhitebook.com. And thank you all of you who have left reviews and ratings. If you haven't done that yet, go over to Amazon and leave us a review and a rating. It really means a lot and helps out that book, helps the book to reach more people. Actually, just recorded a podcast on Jen Hatmaker's podcast, For the Love.
Oh,
nice. It will be coming out next year. So I'll give you guys a heads up when that airs. So
get a little too big for your britches out there with Hatmaker.
But if you go to johnjarver.com, you can find links to other interviews. If you'd like Dave Barnes, we've done a Dadville podcast. If you like GMA, you can check out that interview. So go and check out the book and check out the content on that. It's pretty cool. Johnny's all over Drybar. He's just conquering left and right as well
as in my blood.
Amazon. I mean, guys, make sure that you're listening to his comedy and passing it along to family members for Christmas.
They're like, great.
All right, guys, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of million praying moms, and I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.